In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Today we go back and start with the gospel, which for some of you might not know because maybe you weren't able to make it, or some of you may have been inside the church. But the gospel that was read outside the doors of the church on Holy Pascha. And what we're doing at that moment is really, in many ways, as we process around the church, we received our light, and we go out and stand outside of the doors and we read this gospel in imitation, in many ways, of the myrrh-bearing women. Because after we knock on the doors and we enter, we come in, and the church is the tomb. The church is the empty tomb, because as the tomb was there before, and this symbolism is all there. The myrrh-bearing women, what motivated them to come to Jesus' tomb? There's a lot of ways to conceptualize people's motivations. Is it possible that they had a sense of duty, that their tradition, their Jewish faith, their sense of Jesus' victimhood, that driven out of duty, they went to the tomb? It's possible. Is it possible that it was out of curiosity to see if indeed Jesus was dead and in the tomb? Although they have watched many things from afar, this was the first time they were close. The fathers of the church say that what motivated them was primarily love. Love for Christ. And love that drove them to want to pursue Christ, and even in a circumstance where they would have been confused about who he was, a circumstance where they may have even been disappointed about what had happened, and yet out of love, because they loved Jesus, they went to anoint his body to preserve him. And yes, it also was a Jewish custom and all of those things, but our primary motivation of these women was love. There was obstacles that they would have to overcome. Motivated by love as they were, there was a large stone, a stone that these women by themselves could not have moved. There was also a guard that was set over to watch the tomb, a guard that they would not have been able to persuade or move away from the tomb. And we also see them preparing. This was early, the first thing in the morning, when the sun is first rising. The Sabbath has concluded, and somehow they've managed to pull together the herbs and spices and the various things needed to anoint Jesus' body. They took a time. Now, this was not a group of women in a women's club that were united. These are women of different households who have come out driven by love and to come and anoint Jesus' body. So we see love, we see a diligence, being preparing and bringing this stuff, and we see bravery. And as this is what leads them to the tomb, and ultimately this is what ends up being their joy, as they find that Christ is risen. And these virtues of the myrrh-bearing women, every Christian is called to internalize in our own spiritual life. St. Ignatius Brancheninov, I believe, has a sermon where he talks, and I'm sure there's many other fathers who talk about this, about how our heart in many ways is like the tomb of Christ. He says that many of us were baptized when we were little, or when we were adults, but somehow Christ may have even died in our lives. In other words, he simply is resting dead in the tomb. He's not animated. And what are those things of the Christian life that are required of us in order to somehow experience and come in contact with the resurrected Christ? Well, the first is that we would be try or pray to be motivated by love. You see, many are motivated to the faith by their sense of duty. Many are motivated to keep traditions. There's nothing wrong with those things on some level. But if you read St. Silouan or some of the various saints, you'll find that the most profound drive within the Christian soul is the love of Christ. Is that we actually want to be close to Him. Now we think about this in terms of marriages. I mean, it is one thing to stay married to my wife because it's my duty. It is one thing to stay married to my wife for a sense of keeping traditions and continuity in the family. But it is a much warmer marriage, and it is a much deeper marriage if my motivation to be with my wife is love. Because love is self-sacrificing, it is driving, and ultimately it is what can motivate us to be united to Christ. But every marriage requires also diligence and preparation, like the myrrh-bearing women. That in our relationship with God, that we would be diligent, that we would consistently prepare in some way, in our own way, through our prayers, through our church practices, through our all those aspects of our life that somehow reading the scriptures, that somehow relate back to Christ. All of these diligent things that we do, as we do them diligently, help us to encounter Christ, the risen Christ. And finally, I mentioned a third thing that I'm going to stall for a minute and think about as to what I said. What was it? Diligence, love, and bravery. Yes, bravery. Thank you. You guys were not helpful at all. There's a certain amount of courage that needs to be. There's a lot of courage that needs to be taken in the spiritual life. I mentioned that the myrrh-bearing women came to the tomb, and there was this insurmountable obstacles there. I mean, there was no logical reason why they should have went to the tomb. It's just not even possible that they're going to see Jesus. It's not physically. It just isn't going to happen. It is insurmountable, the obstacles that they face. And yet, motivated out of love, they pursue Christ. And we could even say that at some time within the gospel, they say, who's going to roll away this tomb, the stone from the tomb? And we're meant to imitate this in our own lives, because so many of us who are dead in soul and dead in heart and looking for some sort of connection and experience of Christ and repetitive sins that go over and over, wonder how it is that we're ever going to make any progress in the spiritual life, that we're going to somehow come and witness to Christ and see Him. And there's a sense of powerlessness that these women would have. And this is a sense of powerlessness that we should carry around with us, because ultimately we have no way to storm the tomb. We can be diligent. We can be filled with love. But we can't make our encounter with God happen. It's a relationship. He has to reveal Himself. He has to show Him forth out of the emptiness of and brokenness of our lives sometimes. And so it requires a sort of courageousness that presses on. So many people give up on the Christian faith because they don't have good experiences. So many people give up on their prayers and stop praying because, quote unquote, nothing happened. So many people leave churches and communities because of disappointment, because of all the circumstances, that they're unable to wrestle with something that we're meant to wrestle with. This faith is not handed to you on a platter so that you can swallow it easily. You are not spoon-fed the Christian faith. The Christian faith, the encounter with Christ, is something you wrestle with. It is something you strive towards. It is something that requires love, diligence, and a hearty soul that has a desire to know Christ. A desire that should never leave our souls. A desire that we should never be left without. And we should say, even regardless of our circumstances. These virtues, the women in today's gospel, the myrrh-bearing women, show us as they go and they go to minister to the Lord by wrapping His body. The joy that they encounter is they encounter this empty tomb and they find out that the Lord is risen and they don't know what to do with it. They're out of their mind. For us who have read this story as a past story in our own spiritual lives, if we embody the virtues of the myrrh-bearing women, we will also eventually encounter the truth and the experience of the resurrection in our own lives. And we may actually be surprised by it. We may actually be, this sounds weird, we may be surprised that God actually exists. Because it is the people who experience Him and know Him that actually have a confidence and a reality about His existence. But again, there's only one way for us. That is through our love, through our diligence, through our courage to pursue Christ in the Christian life. May Christ our God bless us with love as a motivation. May we be encouraged to be diligent. And may, when we hit the obstacles that we will encounter on the path of salvation, may God give us the courage that we would wrestle and fight to experience the kingdom of heaven in our own lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.